This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, folks. It's now 6 minutes past 7 o'clock this Thursday morning, the 14th of January. This is The Morning Run, and you're with me, Melissa Idris. Now, one of the best-known aphorisms from the Stock Traders Almanac is the January barometer, the belief that if stock markets are up in January, so will be the entire year, and vice versa. So to discuss this further, we have on the line Kim Ishian, Managing Director and Founder of Singapore-based independent investment research company, True Wealth Publishing. Good morning, Kim. Now, the January barometer, is it as simple as that?
Hi, Melissa. Good morning. Well, the theory is as simple as that. And when you look at the history, at least of U.S. markets, it's actually been the case. Over the past 65 years, the January barometer has been correct all but 8 times. So that means 87.5% of the time, if the S&P 500 has been up in January, the year has ended up. And if the S&P has been down in January, it's been down for the year. So what we did, we looked at markets in Asia to see if the same thing was the case, because when you look at performance of markets so far in January, it certainly doesn't look very good. Shanghai is down 14-15%. Hong Kong is down about 10%. Malaysia is down 3%. So if, in fact, this is the case, it's not very good for the year. But the numbers are not quite as definitive as they are for the U.S. And, for example, for Malaysia, 71% of the time that the market has been up in January, it's been up for the full year, and that's over the past 25 years since 1990. So that's not quite 87%, but it's still quite a bit. And on the other side, when the market has been down in January, for the Malaysian market, the market has been down for the year only 45% of the time. It's a little bit higher for other markets. In Vietnam, for example, which does have a shorter market history, just 15 years, 89% of the time. But the market's been up in January. It's been up for the year, for example. And the number's a little bit different for Singapore. It's also 71% like Malaysia. So if markets continue to do poorly in January, it's not, according to the January barometer history for this part of the world, it's not the end of the world, but it's certainly not a good sign.
Kim, are we able to prove such a causation in the stock market? I mean, is it a statistical anomaly? What's causing this correlation between January and the rest of the year?
No, you know, Melissa, there's no, it's only a correlation. There's no causation. And there's not really a good reason why it works. It's nothing other than maybe it's sentiment. Maybe it's, you know, there are a lot of indicators like this that there's no particular reason they should work, but they just historically have. And when we look at them for their predictive power, it's, you know, you're walking on thin ice because there really is no predictive element to it. It's just a kind of interesting phenomenon that people have theories about why it might work, but there's no other real reason.
Okay. Well, then if we were to hedge all these, this market volatility that we've been seeing just in the past 2 weeks, would you use gold as an instrument for hedging?
Well, you know, what I do first, I would seriously consider using cash as a hedge. And cash, you know, cash is free. It's easy. All you have to do is click a button and you have it. And you don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to worry about whether it goes up or down. It's just going to be there. So my first point of call of harbor for hedging is cash, and gold would probably be number two, because gold, what you want in a hedge is you want something that's not correlated or something that's negatively correlated with the markets that you're otherwise invested in. And cash, of course, is just flat. It's not really correlated with anything. Gold, when you look at the historical correlation of gold to, for example, the Malaysian market, the correlation is negative 0.68 over the past 5 years. So what that means is most of the time when the market goes up, gold is going to go down. And over the past 5 years, gold has been going down a whole lot. So that's been a bad bet to make. It's been a hedge. It's actually lost you money. But when volatility goes up and when markets go down, gold is someplace where you do want to be. And in fact, over the past 6 weeks, we have seen gold perform quite strongly relative to all these markets that have been going down. And compared to, for example, the S&P 500, the correlation is -0.93%. So that's a much even stronger correlation, which is the sort of thing that you do want in a hedge when markets are looking wobbly.
But are there events in the horizon that you would be watching out for that will make you rethink your position on gold?
Well, of course, gold is not where you want to be when interest rates start to move up. And that's, we've seen part of the poor performance of gold we've seen over the past several months has been due to anticipation over the Federal Reserve in the U.S. raising interest rates. But in just recent weeks, we've seen certainly a partial reversal of that. Maybe it's the whole idea that it actually has come to pass. So people have been anticipating, then boom, in mid-December interest rates did rise, and that's out of the way for now at least. And the Fed has talked about, has warned that it will continue to raise rates throughout the year. I think that right now, Melissa, the investors are more thinking about this volatility and how markets have been falling thanks to everything that's going on in China, and that's actually trumped concern over the direction of the Fed and certainly the direction of the dollar in the short term. So perhaps gold will turn out and underperform once markets settle down. I think in any case, it's probably a good idea to have a certain portion of your portfolio in gold in anticipation of this happening next time, so that it's not 3 weeks in and markets down 5%, 7%, 10%. And you think, oh, what kind of hedge should I have? It's much better to have that sort of thing in place, even if it does lose you money along the way as markets are moving up.
Kim, a quick question. What do you think about gold miner stocks compared to the precious metal itself?
Well, gold mining stocks have a lot more upside. They also have a lot more downside if you don't know what you're doing, because gold mining stocks can, a lot of them have blown up in recent years. A lot of them are cash flow negative. I think we'll see a number of other bankruptcies in coming months and weeks from gold miners. On the other hand, if gold does start to does really stabilize for an extended period of time, does start to move up, I think you can see a lot of gold stocks be 10 baggers quite easily. The trick, of course, is finding what stocks those are, and I'm certainly not one that's qualified to comment on that, and I would guess the vast majority of investors are not. If that's your sort of thing, there are ETFs that do focus on gold miners. I think a safer alternative is either to buy the gold bullion itself, which is a little bit more time-consuming than you have to store it somewhere, or else it's not great because it's still paper, but to buy a gold ETF like GLD on the New York Stock Exchange or on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange 2840, those would be alternatives as hedging mechanisms.
All right, great talking to you. Thanks so much for your time. That was Kim Iskian, Managing Director and Founder of True Wealth Publishing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.